please. God bless you. 1 Timothy chapter 5. If you're getting familiar with your Bible, it's toward the end of the New Testament. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And while you're turning there, the lights are coming back on slowly, so just don't let that be a distraction. Here are the keys to what they think is a Ford Escort out in the parking lot. Does anybody, you've lost a set of keys to a Ford Escort or anybody like that this morning? I'm sorry, right here, Zanetta. All right. There you go. Very good. Thank you. 1 Timothy chapter 5, and we're going to read this morning verses 3 and 4. So if you found that scripture in honor to God's word, go ahead and stand, and let's ask the, we'll read the scripture, then we'll ask the Lord to bless the message here. Now, I'll read verse 3, and would you join me on verse number 4? We're in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 3. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first, to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Let's pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, would you please now settle our minds and our thoughts? I pray that the lights would not be a distraction to us. I pray that we'd be able to concentrate, think fully on the next several minutes as we look at your book. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here today, for the laughter, the fun, for moms on their special day. And now would you please be in this message. Use the song to prepare our hearts. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Out of His great love, He lifted me up, set my feet on a sturdy rock. Out of His great love, I've learned the meaning of salvation. Out of His great love. Set my feet on a sturdy rock. Out of His great love, I've learned the meaning of salvation. Out of His great love.
Now I shout His praise through all my days for His endless mercy and grace. There's no other one who has greater love. With joy I will ever sing.
Out of His great love, set my feet on a sturdy rock. Out of His great love, I've learned the meaning of salvation. Out of His great love, out of His great love, He lifted me up and set my feet on a sturdy rock. Out of His great love, I've learned the meaning of salvation. Out of His great love.
Happy Mother's Day there, wife. The special for this morning is out of town. And so they called, so what do we do about the special? I said, well, I know some kids that can sing and be a blessing to their mother on Mother's Day. And I think that was a surprise. So happy Mother's Day. Amen. I hope you enjoyed that. All right. I want to speak this morning for a few minutes on the subject, do it while you can. Do it while you can. I want you to look at verse 4. Where the Bible says, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents. Do it while you can. Let's pray together. Our God and Father, thank you again for the opportunity to gather around your book. Now, would you please open our eyes and help us to see wondrous things out of your law and speak to us today. Holy Spirit of God, fill me, use me, make me a blessing and a help to our church this morning. To every person here, meet the need of the heart, I pray in Jesus' name. And amen. The Christian faith exalts the female gender to a high degree. You know, because we believe in a divine order of authority, it has nothing to do with equality, but authority, where the men are in leadership, some accuse us of being guilty of a caveman mentality, kind of the thing like, you know, all you guys think is if all you men had your way, your wives would be stuck in the kitchen all day with 10 or 12 children pulling on, tugging on their apron strings and never coming out of the house to see the light of day. That's all y'all believe a woman should do, never speak or do anything. Truth of the matter is, no faith lifts up the female gender like Christianity. If you want to see the degradation of women, you go to where the Bible has never been. And you'll see the degradation. You go to a Muslim country. And you'll find the women there treated no better than livestock. And that's the truth. Go to Hollywood, where the beauty of women is perverted and abused for pleasure and for monetary gain. It's a horrible mistreatment of a woman. Horrible. By the way, our president, you saw that, endorsed same-sex marriage this week. And in the same week, Hollywood gave him $15 million. I'll tell you, folks, we're in trouble. Go to lands where the gospel has never been taken, and you'll find women in squalor. And I'm serious, in squalor. But friend, when you find a home, where you find a church, where you find a marriage, where you find a society where the gospel, now wait a minute, has been received, and where God's word is respected and obeyed, you will find women and girls respected and honored at an unprecedented level. Not abused. And hear me, not burdened with the responsibility of authority. Because the responsibility of authority is heavy. And in most cases, and especially when it comes to leading a country or so forth, God never intended effort to fall on the shoulders of a female. Okay, now, that's how it is. Now, God so exalts women that He made provision for their care in their old age. And that's what this passage is about. Now, stick with me a minute. I'm laying the foundation. Paul instructs Timothy, who is a pastor, church in Ephesus, as to the stipulations concerning the care of widows. In other words, the church has a responsibility to care for widows. But now, wait a minute. It has a responsibility to care for widows who meet the qualifications of a widow indeed. You see that in verse 3. Honor widows that are widows indeed. Now, that's a specific kind of widow. Widows indeed means that there are some widows who do not have children. They don't have grandchildren, obviously. They don't have children. And they don't have nephews or nieces who should care for them. You know, you take a woman who would grow up as an only child and marry, has no brothers or sisters, has no nieces or nephews. Mary has no children of her own. Her husband dies. Now she's a widow. Mom and dad have already passed away. There's basically nobody left to care for her. And so at that time, the church takes up the responsibility of caring for that kind of widow. Now, folks, very few, if any, widows today meet that qualification. And there are other qualifications in the passage as well. Almost all widows have grandchildren, children or grandchildren, nieces or nephews who can and should care for them. Now, there's other stipulations listed here in the passage, but the intent of my message this morning is not about widows, as much as it is another truth that is secondary in this passage. Now, wait a minute. By secondary, I mean it is not the main truth in this passage, but it is taught in the Scripture. The main truth of this passage is that the widows who qualify should be honored and cared for by the church. Okay, that's what the Bible teaches. Here's the secondary truth that's taught here, is that kids and grandkids and even nephews and nieces should help care for their aged parents. Now, just because that is secondary in emphasis doesn't mean it's secondary in importance. Does that make sense? Because everything in this book is important. It may not be the main thing taught here, but it is taught in this passage. I want you to look at verse number 4 here, once again with me. Look at what it says here. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them The them is the children or the nephews that Paul is talking about here. Let them learn first to show piety. That word piety means reverence. It means affection. That's what it means. Let them show piety at home and to requite their parents. Boy, I got captivated by that word, requite. Looked it up in Webster's. It means to repay, to recompense. And here's the one that caught my attention and gripped my heart this week. Return in equivalent good. Let them return, in equivalent good. Now, here's a couple of words that aren't used often today as much as they used to be used amongst our vocabulary. Piety and requite. Piety, again, reverence and affection. Requite, repay, recompense, to return in equivalent good. Children and even nephews and nieces, grandchildren should show reverence. They should show affection. And more than that, return in equivalent good. Requite their parents. See, the church is not supposed to be burdened with taking care of widows who have children. The church is not to be burdened to take care of widows who have grandchildren or even nephews and nieces. That generation should look back to the former generation and requite them. Return in equivalent good. Listen very carefully. In Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 11, if you were here on Wednesday night at the conference, Brother Sharp used this message. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. Oh, do we live in that generation? He pointed that out so clearly that night. The kids and parents are not, they do not grow up close in the family unit today, and that carries over into adulthood. There's this massive gulf fixed between parent and child. The child lives for himself. The child lives for herself. His desires, her desires, his own pleasure, her own pleasure. They bring children into the world and then they dump them on their parents, expecting their parents to raise the kids that they should be raising. Expecting the parents they despise to raise their kids. That's wicked. It's ungodly. Not according to Scripture. And thank God for those grandparents, even aunts and uncles who reach out in love and mercy and grace and, man, rear those kids like they were their own. But that burden should not be theirs to carry. Now listen, we should show reverence and respect and return in equivalent good to the dad and mom who reared us. Now, I know in some cases this would involve financial care and material provision, but many elderly dads and moms have done fairly well financially. They have satisfactory living conditions. Their needs are met. But still, there are ways that children can requite their parents. Return in equivalent good. Think about that. By the way, that's a pretty tall order. In fact, I have to ask myself, how in the world can a child return in equivalent good what mom and dad have done for us? I include myself in this. How can we return in equivalent good? How do we do this? Recompense, repay all that a loving dad and mom have provided. You know, I have to say, probably the answer to that question is it's impossible to do that. But that doesn't mean that we can't try and chip away at it. That doesn't mean that we can't work at it. You see, the right kind of heart attitude is not content just to say it can't be done. The right kind of heart attitude says, I may not be able to fully requite my parents, but I'm not going to let mom and dad go to the grave without trying to return the equivalent good to them. I'm going to spend my life what I can returning the equivalent good. Returning the equivalent good is called requiting. By the way, the word is used in the Old Testament about kindness. I will requite to thee kindness. Kindness was given, so kindness was returned. That's what the word means. Return the equivalent good. Now, I want you to look at verse number 4. Look at the very end of verse number 4 there. It says, the Bible says, for that is good and acceptable before God. Hey, you want to have God smile on your life? If your dad, your mom, even your aunt and uncle is still alive, treat them with respect. Honor them. Show them affection. Love them. And as best as you can, requite the equivalent good. I'm so thankful that Dad and Mom, as I mentioned earlier, could be here this Mother's Day. As I mentioned, it doesn't happen often. Then I moved to Bible College in 1976. And since then, I probably could count the Mother's Days I've spent with Mom on one hand. I mean, it's just been the way it's been through these many years. So I'm thankful they are here today. And I just want to say this morning, since they're here, publicly testify that I saw the two of them, and especially my mom, care so lovingly for aged mothers. I really did. Now, my mom's dad went to heaven when I was about four years of age. My pawpaw went to heaven. Pawpaw. That's what the grandkids called me. Pawpaw. So the other day, we're getting ready to eat breakfast, and who wants to pray? Ken, are you going to pray for breakfast? So Ken prayed for the food, and Brindley said, I want to pray too. I said, okay, go ahead. So we all bowed our heads. Dear Jesus, help pawpaw to be good. Where's that come from? What you been telling her, son? Huh? Pawpaw died when I was four. Meemaw lived to be 80. How much? 87. I saw my mother care for her mother. Grandpa Angel died when I was 11, out of a sudden heart attack. Grandma Angel didn't die till she was 91. I saw them care for both those ladies. Care for them. Lovingly. It's called requiting. It's called returning the equivalent good. Do what you can. You know, I understand. Now, look here. I'm not putting anybody on a guilt trip this morning. I understand there are times where it is absolutely impossible. Both of them ended up in a nursing home. Grandma Angel ended up in a nursing home. And Mimo ended up in a nursing home. There are times when that has to be done, when the care that they need for their body, for their well-being, is more than what a person can provide. I'm not putting anybody on a guilt trip if your mom or dad's in a nursing home. But I will tell you something. It ought to be the saddest day of our life if we ever have to put them in any kind of home like that. It ought to be the saddest day of our life. I'm not putting anybody on a guilt trip. I remember Grandma Angel. And she had like hardening of the arteries or Alzheimer's and dementia and hardening of the arteries. I guess there's ways you can tell those three apart, but some of the symptoms are very similar. And I watched her mind begin to deteriorate. Got to the place where she bit people. 91 years later, with biting people. She got very mean. And that was not her. And I'm going to tell you what happened. Some of you, you're going to watch your aged parents say things and do things, and you go, what in this world? When their minds start to slip. But I'm going to tell you what that is, friend. I don't mean to hurt your feelings. That is just revealing what is inside the heart of man when it's not restrained. We forget what our book teaches us about our hearts. They're desperately wicked. Anything good about us is because of Jesus Christ and that book right there, what God has done for us. She got ugly. Used words that I'd never heard her use. Bit. They had her, as long as they could, had to put her in the nursing home. Meemaw, same way. Took her cover. She had a downstairs apartment, little mother-in-law apartment down in the house there where I grew up as a boy, and Linfield Court, and had her little living area and bedroom and bathroom, little kitchen. It was the greatest thing in the world. She lived there for years and years with us, and then she went into early stages of Alzheimer's and still lived in that apartment. My folks would find the mail. She'd go down and get the mail. They'd find it in the refrigerator. She would sometimes come out of her apartment undressed. And that was not her. She was a very modest woman. Just in that state, it's that nobody knows what she was doing. Alzheimer's. Had teacher to swallow her food, put the food in her mouth. Remember right, put the food in her mouth and just chew it and 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 chew it. They finally have to say, Mom, swallow. She knew what to do with it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Just chew and chew and chew and chew. You got to swallow it. Like a baby. A little child. And you know, I'm not putting anybody on a guilt trip. Man, I'm not doing, that's not my intention this morning. And there comes a time maybe in an aged person's life where the family has done all they can do medically and physically. And they can't, you know, we don't know. We've talked about this, how long Lisa's going to be able to care for my brother. He's 6'6" or 6'7". 6'7". She's 5'3" or 5'4". He's on steroids now. He's 215, 220 pounds. She has to get him in that chair and out of that chair and into the restroom, back to the chair and in the bed and out of the bed. And he's doing some better. You know, walk a little bit. But, you know, I don't think any of us are ever going to have an angry feeling at Lisa when the day comes that she has to put Tom, if she has to, in a home. Or she can't do it. Some kind of hospice or something. I don't know. It's life. It's unpleasant. I watched two parents requite their parents, show reverence and respect to parents, and return in equivalent good. And I'm talking this morning to all ages in this room, not those of us whose parents are getting elderly, not only those of us who are getting elderly, but all of you who have living parents and grandparents, requite them. Requite them. Return in equivalent good what dad and mom have done for you. Don't forget them. Remember them and love them. Let me give you just two or three practical things this morning about requiting that when your parents at any age, and particularly those of us whose parents live away and are growing older in life. Number one, call often. Call often. You know, it costs so little to call these days, doesn't it? But it does take time and thought and care. You'd be surprised how many times I make a visit on an elderly member of this church, in their home or in a nursing home. And it doesn't take very long at all for that conversation to turn to, I heard from my son today. I heard from my daughter that my son called me yesterday. My daughter called me. My granddaughter, nothing thrills the heart of a grandparent like a grandchild to call. Grandparents are 65 and 70 and 75, and the phone rings, and it's a teenage voice or a elementary age voice on the phone. Hey, Grandpa. You can't believe what that'd do for your grandparent. Requite them. Did Grandpa ever call you? Grandma ever call you? Ever call you on your birthday? Ever call you on a special occasion? Did they ever do that? Well, requite in equivalent good. Call them. Call them. They're always talking about that. You say, they know I love them. They know I love them. Yes, they do. I'm sure that they do. But you know what? A phone call doesn't just mean that you love them. A phone call means that you're thinking about them. That makes it special. Return in equivalent good. Call often. Number two, visit when you can. Visit when you can. Brother Bragg called me on Thursday night, and he said, "Preacher, he said, do you care if after school tomorrow, when school's out at noon, if I jump in the van with Naomi and the kids and run down, my dad is having their mother-daughter banquet, my mom's having her mother-daughter banquet at the church, and I'd like for Naomi and Leah and KK to go with her." And I said, "Absolutely, Mike." And he said, "Oh, we'll be back late Saturday night." And I got to thinking, my gracious, man, we can do without Mike Bragg one Sunday morning. You're there with your mother? Stay. Go to church with her. Sit in the pew with her. He'll be back tonight. Visit him when you can. I know schedules are busy. You know what? When they live a long ways away, if they're at home, if they're in a nursing home, attempt to see them once in a while. You know, my dad was told, we were talking about this, and it's just funny that we were talking about it because he didn't know what I was going to preach on this morning. But, you know, Grandma Angel got that hardening of the arteries, whatever she got, and he'd get off work and he'd just go by and sit in her room. She didn't know him. She may not even know he was there. Just sit there. That's not a waste of time. Oh, really? You reckon your mom ever sat with you and you didn't know it? Yeah, I'm going to tell you what happened, Buster. Some of you teenage boys that don't have any love for mom or any affection, you don't give a flip about mom, you treat her like dirt. I'll tell you how big you are, pal. There was a day when you puked in your bed and laid in it. And your mother got up in the middle of the night about 2:30 in the morning, dead dog tired, and cleaned you up and rocked you and tried to settle your stomach and sang and whispered to you until you fell asleep. You never knew it. You reckon mom might deserve a visit like that? A little different this morning, isn't it? That's all right. It's good for us. Man, I thought you'd preach against homosexuality this morning. I ain't gonna do that. This is real Christian living here. Requiting your parents. There's a night when you were scared to death. You woke up absolutely screaming out of a dead sleep. Perspiration all over. You had a horrible nightmare and your mother picked you out of bed. Loved you and rocked you and took care of you. You never knew it. Visit while you can. I won't forget some years ago, Brother Ray called. He said, "Hey, listen, we're going to be out of town this weekend." He's a soul winning partner on Saturday. "Going to be out of town this weekend. Going to go see Dad and Mom." I think they took off on a Friday afternoon after work. Drove out to Pennsylvania, spent Saturday and Sunday with his folks at both that time, Dad and Mom both alive, and Kim's folks still living. Came back on Sunday afternoon, Sunday night sometime, got in. I was outside Monday evening doing something out in the yard. Joyce brought me the phone and said, "It's Brother Ray." He just got a phone call from Elizabeth, I think, who stayed back in Pennsylvania. And she said, "Dad, Grandpa's gone." Had just seen him. I know he didn't regret making that trip. Got to spend those last hours with Dad and didn't know it. Visit when you can. Visit when you can. We'll tell you something, workers at Faith Baptist Church, you know, we appreciate your faithfulness. Bus workers, Sunday school teachers, and we hope you'll never abuse the liberty to be gone on a Sunday when you need to be. But you're never going to hear an angry word from me or a frustrated word from me if you're gone to see your dad and mom. Never. Visit them when you can. Number three, remember their special occasions with a card, birthdays and anniversaries and special days, just something in the mail. We knew how little mail some of these folks got. Mail that means anything. They probably get 50 million credit card applications. Trash, 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 trash. But I mean something that means something. Do it while you can. Do it while you can. I'm 55 years of age, and I think I exist in a very unique way. I have not buried either one of my parents. I have not buried a sibling yet. I've not buried a child. I've not buried a cousin. I've not buried a grandchild. On my side of the family, I've buried one aunt. That's amazing. At 55 years of age. But you remember, I remember how quickly my wife's mother passed. Tomorrow would be her birthday. She'd be 83. Precious lady. I miss her today. Our kids miss her. We told you that Wednesday night at prayer time that she was doing well and going home. Because that's what the doctor said. She went home, but not here on earth. She went to that home. Well, I remember the suddenness of it. I know she was glad that she was just there, able to speak with her. You know, return the equivalent good. We'll never be able to accomplish that fully, but we can make a good stab at it. You kids who are young right now, and you're young people, you're elementary school age, and you're still with mom and dad in the home, you return the equivalent good. There's no age limit on this commandment. Obey them at home and honor them and love them. At the funeral on Wednesday, I think it was emotional. It was emotional for Brother Matt. He wept several times during the funeral. It was emotional for those three children. My heart went out to them, still does. Mom gone at age 40. So if you got a living mom at home there, kids, do it while you can. I never come to this time of the year, around Mother's Day, without thinking about Brother Larry. It was about this time of the year, wasn't it, Larry? In May? May 16th. When those boys got called down to the police station and told them their mother was murdered. I remember going down there after church to visit Larry and Gerald. You know what? Maybe mom wasn't everything that mom should have been, but she's still mom. There's only one person that feels that. Only one. So on this Mother's Day, 2012, for your mom, for your dad, for your grandma, for your grandpa, requite them. Return in equivalent good all that they've done for you. And I'll say this in closing because I know in a crowd this size, I may not know the specific incident. And I know in a crowd this size that there's probably some people who are estranged from their mom, estranged from their dad. More bitterness sets in and divisions take place. Listen, I'm not saying you're going to turn that thing over like that and be done with it in 24 hours. But hey, why don't you spend the next several years giving your heart to your mom, even if she doesn't give you hers back. Give your heart to your dad, even if he doesn't give it back. Requite them. Requite them. Return in equivalent good. And do it while you can. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me ask a couple of questions and we'll be ready to give the invitation in just a moment. Thank you for listening. One who's here today would say, Pastor, I heard the message and I Spirit of God spoke to my heart on this matter. Something was said that sparked something in my heart. And I'm glad that I heard this and I needed to hear it, and pray for me about this matter of requiting and doing it while I can, and honoring those that have gone before, those that are older than me. Yes, I see your hand. Somebody else in the room this morning, say, pray for me. Yes, God bless you. Amen. Anybody else? Yes. Amen. I appreciate it. Your kids at home, do it while you can. Do it while you can. One here this morning would say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. If I died right now, I know where I'd spend eternity. According to the Word of God, I'm bound for heaven because Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. And I know that for a fact. If you can say that, would you raise your hand this morning? If you're saved and you know it. Saved and you know it. That's wonderful. Thank you. Take your hands down. Is there somebody here today who would say, Pastor, I couldn't raise my hand then. I don't know where I'll spend eternity. I don't know where I'll go when I die. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand, please? I'll pray for you this morning. Just ask a simple question. Do you know where you'll spend eternity? Would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you this morning if you're not sure that that place is heaven. If you're not sure that you're going to that wonderful land. Heaven, would you raise your hand this morning? All I do is pray for you. In the balcony on the lower floor, God bless you. I see that hand. Thank you so much. If you're not sure that you're saved, in just a moment when we give the invitation, let me invite you to come and let somebody take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. We have men to talk to men. We have ladies to talk to ladies. They can take a Bible and show you how to be saved and have that settled in your heart. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never been baptized in deep water since you've been saved. Somebody like that here today, Pastor, I've been saved, but not baptized. All right, God bless you. If you want to be obedient to Christ in this matter, you step out and come. When we give the invitation, follow the Lord in believer's baptism. It would be pleasing to God if you do that. Maybe this is the time, the place that you're going to, you know, you need to become a member. You've talked to one of us about membership. Now's a great time to join. Or if you need to make an appointment about that, you come talk to one of these fellas. My Heavenly Father, I thank you for Mother's Day. I pray that you'll help all of us, Lord, to draw as close as we possibly can to our dads, our moms, our grandparents. Lord, some, because of sin, don't want to be close. I know that. But Lord, I pray that you'll help us and our hearts to be as close as we can and to requite them, return an equivalent good, all the good things they did for us. Help us this morning. Bless our mothers. I pray for these that are not sure that they're saved. I pray, God, this matter would be cleared up for them. I pray that you draw them to Christ. If any need to be baptized, may they please follow you in obedience. And we'll thank you for it. God bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, play us a song of invitation. If you raised your hand this morning, you need to come and get this matter of salvation settled. You come, we can show you from the Bible how to be saved. Or if you want to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, and now's the time for you. May Christ, you come. Let the Lord deal with your heart this way. Return an equivalent good. Requite them.